Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome. Well, today is the third Monday of the month, and that means that on Conversations Live, we focus on careers and ways that you can create your own unique lifestyle. And my first guest has certainly done that for himself. My second guest today is recognized as one of the best career consultants in America. And, you know, there's always a lot of hype in the world. Everyone claims to be the biggest, the best, the number one. And our job as the consumer is always to sort through that hype. But I have to tell you that Andrea Kay is definitely the best career consultant that I have ever worked with. She takes a down-to-earth approach. She's a consummate professional. She's been doing this for more than 22 years, and she's rejoining us around 12:30 today to give an update on what's working in the current job climate. She says that many of us need to stop the panic flow and quite simply get out of her own way. So we'll find out what that means later on today. First, I'd like to welcome Ben Hurt to the show. He's the CEO of Pet Holdings, Inc., the company behind the hugely popular blogs ICANN Has Cheeseburger, Fail Blog, and quite a few others. Ben describes himself as an internet content connoisseur, and his business model has been written up literally around the world. So far this month, he's been on the cover of Sound Magazine and the New York Times site. Ben Hurt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm very happy to be here.
And we spell your last name H-U-H.
That's correct.
Yep. So I just want to make sure people know who we're talking to here. And so tell me about this. You've just been on the cover of Sound Magazine. You said this was my very first cover. It was a fun, crazy, cat-filled photo shoot. But I did get a little nervous when I read the title, Seattle's Internet King.
Sure. I'm not sure who died to make me the Internet King. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of guys here who do a lot more business than I do on the web.
So tell us a little bit about your site. You know, I was at a dinner party, I guess it must have been last year, and I have a friend who's published about 40 books. She's a New York Times bestseller, a USA bestseller, been doing this a long, long time, and she hushed the dinner table and said, I have an announcement to make. And I thought, oh my God, she's made number one on the New York Times, right? And she goes, my publicist has put an ad on ICANN Has Cheeseburger. And everybody else went, that's fantastic. And I went, what? So tell us a little bit about ICANN Has Cheeseburger.
Sure. So it is a site of user-generated, meaning users submit all these photos of their cats with funny misspelled captions on them.
And you came about this when I was doing a ton of research.
Sure.
I was peeling back all these layers.
Yeah,
I thought,
yeah.
Okay, I know who this man is. I know what his site is. And I kept finding more and more information. I actually read that a couple of different things. I read you were trained as a journalist.
That's correct.
Okay. And I read you were a former engineer and you were looking for something different.
Yeah, I was a product development person. So I had no technical skills worth anything, but I worked with the engineer team to come up with new products.
And you were fed up there and looking for something new?
Well, I was there for a few years, and in my blood, I was always an entrepreneur. So I wanted to seek out a way to make a living on my own, to grow and start a business. So when this came about, it seemed pretty crazy, and I thought, you know, this is probably worth jumping at.
And so you suggested to your friend that you liked this site, and he said, why didn't you buy it, right?
That's correct.
Now, how did you buy it, first of all? I mean, this is a website. Let's just go back to basics for people who don't know the website.
Sure.
I'm sure they will look at it after this. But
yeah.
It started with the lolcats. And I did hear you say that you don't like describing lolcats. You find it hard to describe. But
it's really tough. It's part humor, part cats. We have a lot of people on the site who don't even like cats, who love the humor. It tends to be slightly geeky at times. We have a huge following in the engineering, the software development community. There's a lot of people at Microsoft who come to the site, for example. It's basically misspelled captions because cats can't spell.
Right.
Duh, right? I mean, they can't talk. But we'll get around that little problem by saying cats can't spell. Cats just choose not to spell in the way we spell. And they basically caption, they talk in this manner, and people caption funny photos of cats doing basically saying the language we call low speak. If people want to actually get to the site, one of the problems that we have is that the site's URL is pretty lengthy and misspelled, like the language low speak. So the best way to get there is to Google for the word cheeseburger. The proper term cheeseburger, and the number one result will be us.
Okay, because you actually spell cheeseburger differently, but if we just put regular spelling of cheeseburger
right.
in there,
that's right. It's become that popular.
It will pop it up. And so do you provide the pictures? And I know that your users generate the captions.
Right. No, the users provide everything. So you can actually go up there and upload pictures of your cat, and hopefully somebody else will caption it and may make the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they provide both elements.
Now, I read when you first started this, when you first took it over, you didn't have that many coming in, but now you get several thousand submissions a day.
Yeah, so when I first started working on the site, which was September of 2007, that's when we purchased the site from the original owners, we were getting roughly 300 to 500 submissions a day. And now we have a network of 9 different sites now, but we get about 9,000 submissions a day.
So tell me what your vision was, Ben, when you decided you were going to buy this site. Because, you know, here it is, a site that if you just flick through very quickly and don't pay attention to it, you think, oh, this is just a site that has cutesy pictures of cats and captions.
Sure.
What was your vision as a business person, as an entrepreneur?
Sure. For me, when we raised investment funding for the site, you know, people are asking, you know, is this going to be a site? Are you going to launch a dog site? Probably. Are you going to launch a giraffe site, a hamster site? And I said, you know, it's really not about zoology. it's really about the humor and the fun people have on the site. So my vision was to actually take it beyond the scope of animals, and decided that this is really more about giving people an outlet for their sense of humor.
Mm. And community, I know, is very important. You were very, very focused on building that community. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how you did that and what your plans are for the future. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest today is CEO, and his name is Ben Hur, and his site is I Can Has Cheeseburger. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauly, and I hope you listen to my brand new radio show, Get Active, at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday for ideas on how you can stay fit and active and connected to our community. Each week, we'll have a guest who knows in depth about some activity you may be interested in. We'll cover everything from working out, sports, sailing, skiing, to bridge, dancing, volunteering, you name it. Again, it's Get Active at 12:30 in the afternoon each Tuesday, right here at Alternative Talk 1150.
Embracing change is the top survival skill, and resilience today is more important than ever before. Coming Monday, October 29th on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, Patty Dobrowolski, comic actor, high-performance business consultant, and TEDx speaker who specializes in helping to actualize the transformations we desire through a dream-to-reality mapping process. Join us for a fun and inspiring experience at noon Pacific on Monday, October 29th. And if you have a dream-to-reality transformation question, a big challenge, or a great success story you'd like to share, email Vicky at info@conversationslive.net.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My special guest in the studio with me today is Ben Hur. He is the CEO of ICanHasCheeseburger.com. And we're talking about how his journey, his success, and what he attributes his success to. And I heard you say in one interview, Ben, that building up community features to keep people coming back was key to your success. Tell us a little bit about how you went about approaching that and developing that community.
Sure. You know, one of the practical things that we learned is that if you have a community of people who are willing to contribute and hang out with you, you need to reward them in one way, shape, or form. And one of the things that we learned very early on that was a big reward for the users actually didn't really cost us anything in terms of time or energy. We really just let them hang out. So they found other like-minded people that they wanted to communicate with, and we gave them a forum to do so. So in our comments section, you'll see a lot of people literally just hanging out, dropping in, dropping out throughout the day. And it's a community of people who want to live in this world of lolcats and with other funny people that they like.
Yeah. And you said in that same interview, instead of catering to a small pack of rabid and hardcore users, you wanted to work on the second and third tiers because they're much bigger.
Tell us
a little bit about
that.
Sure.
Generally, when you look at any website, a tiny little sliver of the audience is regulars, meaning they can't come back every day and they hang out every day. The much larger slice is the people who come in maybe 3 times a week, 4 times a week, that are casual, that are fans, but they don't participate and they don't, do it on a regular basis. So what we want to do is we wanted to convert those people into daily regulars. So we gave them a path. We wanted them to interact with the site. So we gave them voting tools. We gave them feedback tools like comments and things like that, which encouraged them to participate in the community.
Okay. Another helpful tip you gave is when you're setting up a website, internet business of any kind, buy the misspellings of that same name.
That's right.
You didn't do that, right?
Well,
did you?
Yeah, the first site that we bought was I Can Ask Cheeseburger, and they had not purchased any misspellings. It was a hobby for them when they first got started. It wasn't even a hobby. It was just a whim on a lark kind of thing that they did,
right?
Which grew. So they didn't purchase any misspellings, and we spent a lot of time actually going after people who were domain squatting. So when we do any new sites, we usually buy an average of 10 domain names.
Mm. Now, for people who are interested in starting an internet business, you went after investors so that you could buy this website.
That's right.
How did you approach that?
So the friend of mine who I'd shown this site to was pretty active in the startup community here in Seattle. So when I suggested to him that this was a great website, he said, "You want to go buy it?" And we struck a deal. I said, "If I'll run the site, will you help me raise money?" So I had brought in a partner whose specialty was, whose one of his strengths was knowing the investment community here.
And then because of the nature of the site, because it's really a community kind of site, your income, your revenue is driven by what, commercial sponsors?
That's right. Advertising is our majority of our revenues. Mm.
Yeah. And I know you're also getting into books now. You said, I read somewhere that you are turning user-generated content into editorial content. And estimate that your company will generate $500,000 in revenue from its book deals alone.
That's right. That was a New York Times article this Saturday, which we were on their list of bestsellers for 13 weeks during the holiday season for our I Can Ask Cheeseburger book.
So tell us how you're going about that. You're taking pictures that maybe didn't make it on your website but were submissions, and then you're turning them into books. And
that's right. Either way, whether they did make it or not, we are actually working on book number 2, which is going to come out in this fall. And the idea behind that book is to highlight some pictures and package them in a way that hadn't been seen in that way before. Now, I can't give away too much because I think the publishers would fly down here and shoot me. But the concept is exactly the same. It's people who've created captions on pictures, and we're going to highlight them in the book.
Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to ask about is 3 things that you also contribute to your success. And that is memes, viral content, and crowdsourcing.
That's right.
So for those who don't know, tell us what a meme is, because
sure.
That's the basis of your site, right?
Right, right. So that's the basically the marketing engine behind our site, is the idea. A meme is an idea that is replicable, that spreads from person to person. So think of it as an idea virus. So when people decided that they no longer wanted to, let's say, drive on highways, and mm-hmm. that idea spread like a revolution, that would be a meme. That's like a social meme. For us, it's a piece of content. So the idea of putting misspelled captions on a cat, coined Lolcat or Catterday by the people who started it, by the original community, that is a meme that spread from that community to the outside world.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about... So that's your viral content, too. So
that's
let's
right.
talk about crowdsourcing, because I'm not familiar with that term.
Sure. Crowdsourcing is an idea that you can get a lot of people to contribute in the development of a thing, a product or service. So, for example, Dig.com. Are you familiar with Dig?
I am now, after doing my research.
There you go. Digg is a social news engine. So people can actually submit news articles from anywhere on the internet that they think are good, and the community votes on it. So in the huge umbrella, it's called crowdsourcing, where you have the audience go out and find the source for you. And then there's social filtering, which is then they decide within the community what is important, what is not.
Mm. Yeah. So tell us how big your business is. I've read that it's party out front, it's all business in the back. How many people do you have working at ICANN or Pet Holdings?
Yeah, we have 10 employees and 8 part-time, they're not part-time, they're contract employees. Mm. Also some full-time, some part-time as well.
And how many hours a week do you estimate you put in?
Oh, who knows? It's hard to figure out.
Yeah. I guess I read also that you said, and you're quite a young man. But you said, internet business is not for a young man; it's for somebody who's passionate about what they do.
Yeah, you know, there seems to be a lot of kind of age-centric idea around what an internet startup is, and you know, I've met people across all age groups who are very tech savvy, who are very well attuned with the internet. But a lot of people kind of over the age of 40, I think, generally kind of say, well, you know, it's not really for me to start a business around this. And I'm not sure why. Maybe there's a lot of social barriers to it. Maybe because they have a family, they don't want to take a risk and so on. But there's a lot of people out there who I think would make great entrepreneurs on the internet who just don't seem to believe that they can.
Mm. Now, you obviously took a risk. You left a paid job to go in and do this as an entrepreneur.
Sure.
Has it been worth the risk so far?
Oh, absolutely. By hands down, absolutely. Yeah.
What's been the biggest challenge for you, Ben?
It is managing that growth. And I want to say managing growth, it's not about the number of people you have or the amount of revenue you generate. I mean, as far as a company is concerned, we're a pretty tiny operation in the grand scheme of things. We just happen to be doing something that a lot of people are very interested in. I know of, you know, McDonald's that make more money than we do, right? So for us, managing growth has been going from myself as the sole employee to an ever larger organization, and for me to change my role with the company. Like, I used to sit on my couch at home, go through the submissions and make sure there's nothing offensive and so on, and filter the submissions. Now, you know, there's like 2 layers of people before the people who manage them, and I never communicate with the folks that do. So you have to go from a one-man operation to a management structure, and that's been a big learning experience. It's one thing to be in a management structure, it's another to set it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And a key thing that we constantly hear from entrepreneurs is you have to work on the business, not in the business.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
How do you manage to separate yourself out from that?
I think about the way we think, and I know it's a little bit, I guess, what I would call meta, where it's a little recursive, but you want to make sure that you're thinking about how the business operates and how the business will solve problems, not necessarily the problem solving itself. It's like teaching a man how to fish versus fishing for him.
Mm. Yeah. So without going into personal details, I read in Time magazine that your investment was $2 million. What do investors look for when they make that kind of investment in a company?
Sure. A lot of things have changed in the investment community in the last 6 months because of the recession and because of the capital markets. So right now, I would say the number one thing that people look for in any opportunity is downside protection. What happens if this business goes south? It's a little pessimistic, and I wish that would change. But a lot of investors are thinking, okay, if I give you money, how do I get my money out if things go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give them a reason, some protection as to what would happen, you know, the real assets the company can sell. The other side is, you know, what's the management team? How can you grow this business? What have you done and shown in the past? Which is pretty funny because I really haven't done much in the past to actually prove that I can do this. But I suppose it's the first time for everything.
Well, good question then. So because how did you get the investment then if you didn't have the background to back it up? They really must have believed in you and what you sold to them.
Well, yeah, I think it's better to describe as what we sold to them. The community was a huge drawing factor in what we purchased. And we said, you know, there's a lot of upside here. You know, a lot of people are afraid that this was a fad and things like that. And I knew for a fact that this thing has been around well before we came into existence on the internet for several years. So this wasn't a passing trend, that this was going to be something that had been vetted by the community. And that's one of the nice things about crowdsourcing is that if the community decides that they want to change the site into something else, they'll do it.
And they do that by what? Just voicing their opinions on the forum?
They'll just start submitting things that they think are new and funny. And
okay, so different. They redirect it through submissions then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very good. What do you think has been the most important lesson that you've learned as an entrepreneur?
I think it's focusing on what your community is looking for. And the problem is that they don't give you a direct answer. So if you go and ask an individual customer, what are you looking for in my business? They'll tell you very specific things about what they individually want. And you have to kind of step outside of that and say, okay, what are they talking about? How can I read between the lines? How can I read from the masses? And that's become kind of an art and a skill.
Mm. Now, we mentioned that you had quite a sizable investment in the company.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I've been asked a lot is, does it take money to start an internet business? I don't have much cash. Can I do it? What's your response to that?
Absolutely no dollars necessary to start an internet business. I think you need pretty close to about $100 a year. So it's a pretty low bar. To pay your web hosting and get a domain name. That's really about it. And then there's a few things that might change that. But you absolutely do not need money to start an internet business.
Mm. Now, let's look at some numbers. Tell us about the traffic that goes to your site. Because it's phenomenal. It's absolutely. Where was it when you started and where is it now?
The site generated about 500,000 page views a day when I first started. So that was September of 2007. Now the site generates in excess of 6 million page views a day.
6 million per day?
6 million page views per day, yeah.
Now, I read that that's the fastest growing blog in Seattle. Do you know that for a fact?
I do not know that for a fact, actually. That's news to me. It wouldn't surprise me, but then it's not where we do our measurement. We actually focus really only internally. It's funny because there's a lot of awards that come up for internet, blogs and so on, and we don't participate in any of them except for one, which is the Webby Awards. We just, at some point it has a diminishing return, and there's no need for us to constantly measure us against somebody else. We just want to measure it against our own.
And you've been flying all over on talking about this. You're quite in demand. I mean, you were at the Webby Awards. You were over in London, I believe, as well.
Yeah. It's a fun story. It's a happy story. And people are very curious about this thing, which seemed like such an oddball that became something more than an oddball.
Yeah, so. Because, I mean, truly, and I mean, absolutely no disrespect, because you've done a phenomenal job. But when I very first went and looked, I was like, okay, it's just a site about cats, and I moved on.
That's exactly the impression we want to leave you, is that it's just a site about cats and captions and funny pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't. There's no need for us to expose our business ambitions to the audience. They don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to get their, what we say, 5 minutes of happiness. So we just want to make sure they get that and move on.
Yeah. Now, how do you go about syndication? I heard you have a pretty unique view on syndication. Tell us what your view on syndication is.
If you want to put our picture on your blog, go ahead. We literally give you a cut and paste code that you can use to put our picture on your blog without you even having to upload a piece of that picture. They're basically marketing it for free for us. They're making more celebrities out of the people who create those funny captions or those upload those funny pictures. And why should we stop them?
Because you actually embed your logo or your brand
watermark.
On there.
That's right. Our URL is on the photo itself.
Right. Yeah. So anytime anybody uses that for free, it's more publicity for you too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We serve up the bandwidth. We serve up the pictures and provide infrastructure for it.
Yeah. What do you think the most common misconception is that people have about managing an internet business? I'm sure you get asked a lot of questions.
That's actually a first one. Misconceptions about managing an internet business. I think people think it's about technology, and it's really not. I don't have a technology background. I have a degree in journalism. My background is in content and project management, where understanding the user is far more important than actually building the tools to do so. And it's really not about technology. There's so much free, good technology out there that it's not about that anymore.
Mm. Where do you see this going in the next 5 years without giving away all your secrets?
For us, we're going to launch new sites. We're going to continue to create new websites where people can enjoy their sense of humor for a few minutes a day. And we'll do that for as long as I can see.
Mm. Now, it's not just about cats. I am a dog lover.
Yeah.
And there's, what is it, I Hot Dog? I Has a Hot Dog.
Yeah.
There are also dog pictures up there.
That's right.
There are also celebrity lookalikes where somebody may grab a picture of a celebrity, and then one of them I looked at was a monster out of a movie, and they compared the two.
It's in good humor. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's it's been done before. I think Spy magazine used to call it "Separated at Birth." And a lot of people actually still do that. We just happen to create a home for this type of content.
Right. Yeah. What other sites are you got? Failblog?
Failblog.org is absolutely huge. And it's basically cataloging the failure of humanity.
Mm.
And also there's Graph Jam, which is quite slightly nerdy, slightly office-y. It takes graphs and charts and basically explains pop culture or music through graphs and charts.
Interesting. Now, I read this, if I can just find the information here, 48% of your users are women between the ages of 18 and 49.
Yep.
And then the male visitors, I think you mentioned this before, are tech savvy and likely to be a bit nerdy.
Yeah. And actually, the number is growing. Actually, we're very fast growing on the male side of the audience. So it's actually closer to 50-50 male-female right now across the network of our sites.
So what do you recommend to somebody who wants to get an ad on ICANHasCheeseburger.com?
That's a great question. I would say if you're a small business, find something. Measure the performance, as I would say. I would say this is an advice to anybody who's looking to advertise online, is make sure you can measure the return. If you're spending ad dollars, it's like an investment. Make sure you get something for it.
Yeah, that's good advice. I was actually approached by somebody who wanted to put something who wanted me to buy a commercial on their website, but there was absolutely no way of measuring success on
that. Yeah.
And that's a key factor. Many entrepreneurs have a really hard time turning off. You didn't even know how many hours you worked when I asked you earlier.
Yeah.
How do you manage to get some downtime for yourself?
I try to go places where my entire focus is needed for something other than work. So I'll go for a drive, or I'll go to the sailing club and rent out a sailboat and go out in the water.
Oh, that's a good way.
Yeah, the weather doesn't cooperate much, but hopefully it will do so for the next
few months. Gone sailing even in the rain.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the gear to make sure I can do that, because when you're out there, you can't think about work unless you're going to fall in the water.
That's very true. And the wind is blowing in your ears, and it just blows all those thoughts out of your head. Well, I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I really enjoyed researching all about Ben-Hur and ICANHasCheeseburger.com. What would you like to leave our listeners with today, Ben?
I want to say that when the economy gets you down, realize that this is a humongous opportunity for you to start your own thing. It just requires a lot of time, that you'll have to sacrifice that. But if you are willing to do so, I think this is an amazing environment for the next big entrepreneur to start.
There we go. That's great positive feedback and a good note to end this segment on. Ben-Hur, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And people can find Ben's site at ICANHasCheeseburger.com or just Google cheeseburger and it will pop straight up.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Andrea Kay. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA. Or visit PETA.org.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Cat class and I got cat style.
Welcome back, welcome back. Thanks, Eric. That was great music there for following iCanHasCheeseburger.com.
That's right.
And lolcats. And coming up in this segment on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, we have Andrea Kay. She's my favorite career consultant. She's an executive coach, career consultant. She's helped thousands of job hunters and employees cut to the heart of their frustration and allow them to take control of their careers. She's published 5 books, has presented many, many workshops to leading corporations and written more than 1,000 articles. She's appeared numerous times on CBS Morning Show and been featured and quoted in dozens and dozens of publications from the New York Times to Redbook. Andrea Kay, welcome.
Thank you, Vicky. It's good to be with you.
Well, I just want to congratulate you on your new website. When I was doing my research, I looked at your new website and I was like, wow, that pops.
Thank you. Thank you. We're still trying to get the bugs out. It's a never-ending chore, I think.
Well, I'd recommend listeners check it out. It's AndreaKay.com, and there's a lot of really great information on there. There are articles on there. There are podcasts on there. If you're looking for a job or changing careers or even, you know, thinking of starting your own business, there's a ton of information up there. It's a really good resource center.
Thank you.
So, and also congratulations. I read that you were awarded the 2009 Leading Woman Award for Consulting, Training, and Education.
Yes, that was a nice honor.
Yeah, you've been working hard.
Yeah, I have. I'm not getting much sleep these days.
Well, let's get down to business. I think, you know, since 9/11, our media has been driving fear down our throats.
Yes.
And it has not changed over the last few months with the economy and the job fallout and all that stuff. And I want to get your viewpoint, Andrea. You say that the more people listen to the news and go around repeating what they hear, the less motivated they are to do. And that makes perfect sense. What are you hearing from people right now?
People, fear is definitely in the air, and I think what happens is just kind of automatic that people's minds immediately focus on what they lack in the event that they lose their job or in the event that they do need to start looking for a job or they're presently looking for a job. They immediately start thinking, oh my gosh, here's all the things wrong with me. Here's all the reasons why I'm going to have difficulty finding a new job. I don't have a degree, or the degree's not in the right area, or I've been at my company all my career too long. And so they immediately start thinking about all the things that are wrong with them, and that puts them into a more fearful state. Add that on to the fact that they read the headline or they've concluded that nobody's hiring. And you've got somebody who's just all wrapped up in fear. And then they go around starting every sentence with, you know, in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're constantly just feeding that fear in their conversations.
Yeah, I saw a terrific bumper sticker the other day. And I thought, I'm going to get one of those. I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something like, I refuse to participate in this recession.
Yes, I tell people, I have a talk where I give that exact line. That line must have filtered through the country, because I go around and I say, look, I refuse to be a victim.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm a news hound. I do watch the news constantly, but I am finding myself turning certain people off the air these days.
Oh, I know. Sometimes you do need to.
You do need to at times. So what happens when we're caught up in that fear? You say that people aren't applying good sense. People who ordinarily have got good common sense and good instincts are suddenly just losing that good common sense and their instincts. It's that panic thing going on, isn't it?
Yes, and what happens is they start acting powerless. Everybody's walking around saying, I have no control. I can't do anything about this. And you're right, you don't control the events, but you do control how you react to them.
Absolutely.
And that's where the sensible, otherwise or illogical people go. They start letting that fear drive them, and they insist that they are powerless and there's nothing they can do.
So let's look at some good habits to turn that around, Andrea. How are you advising people?
Well, the first thing I say is notice that your fear is running you. That's the first thing, is to stop and say, wow, I didn't even notice how much this is running my decisions, running my beliefs, and therefore how I react or don't react. So notice how you're fretting about something you have no control over, like the past. As I mentioned earlier, people are worried about, I've been at my company too long, or how do I come up with a way to explain that I don't have a degree? Well, first of all, the past is the past. There's nothing you can do about it, and you are perfectly capable of coming up with a fine explanation as to why you've been where you are, what you've accomplished, and how you've developed in those years, and have a great story. So notice that your fear is getting in your way. Notice that you have no control over the past, but what you can do is start talking about and developing good explanations as to where you are now and where you want to go.
Mm.
One of the things I mentioned before, stop starting your sentences with, in this bad economy that keeps perpetuating these negative discussions. Stop spending time on wasteful activities that have no or little return on your investment in time, such as sitting at your computer all day, sending out resumes and letters, asking everybody for a job. Where you want to be spending your time is in targeting people, targeting organizations who will have a need for your services.
Mm. And I think, just to interject there,
mm-hmm.
It's good if you know who you want to target them regardless of what everyone else is saying. Because, you know, I have two friends who just got hired at a company, and the word there is that nobody's hiring at that company. And yet I have two good friends who just got hired there.
Exactly. That's a perfect example of the rhetoric that is that people repeat and repeat and repeat. I can't tell you how many times a day I hear somebody say nobody's hiring, and yet I talk to employers, I meet employers, and they say, you know, I'm looking for somebody who could do X, Y, and Z. And you will find that there are jobs, they are not listed everywhere, and if that's where you think you're going to find your job, you're right. They may not be listed there, and that's why I say don't put energy into looking in at a list. Go out and target, talk to people and organizations that could utilize, that may have a need for your services.
Right. There's a great article on your website. I don't remember the exact title, but I think if I tell you about it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it was to do with what employers are sick of hearing. And one of the things was, you know, the interviewer talks about the interviewee talks about me, and don't offer value follow-ups. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, and I can't remember offhand which one that is either, because I have so many, but you may also be thinking about my video podcast.
Oh, excuse me, I think it was a video podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were actually interviewing a human resources person,
yes.
I believe. Yeah.
Yes, the woman from a university.
That's right.
And she talks about how recent grads or recent graduates from college in particular make that mistake, which is think about, you know, their problem. But this is typical of most people, and especially now, which is that fearful mindset that, again, perpetuates that problem that I need to solve my problem, which is to give me a job.
Right.
And
right.
Employers aren't out there to give you a job. They've got their own problems. And you need to think about what their problem is and speak that language.
Yeah, and offer value if they say they're looking for something, then we've got to take our skills and flip them around and say how they're applicable, because they're not always very translatable, right?
Absolutely. They're not always translatable, and sometimes the employer themselves doesn't even know. So, you know, what it is they need. But so that kind of brings me to another thought, which is focusing on, instead of being secure, which is where most people are thinking, I got to get a job, I need to feel secure or find a job that will keep me secure. It's focusing on how you will be valuable to them. So if you were to sit down and think through, what direction is this company headed or the industry in general, and what is it that they need now to just sustain themselves if that's an issue, and what do they need to do to be prepared for the future? You know, what are the forces that are affecting them now, social, economic, technological, that I and the skills and knowledge that I have can help them with? That's how you prepare for interviews. That's the kind of information that if you could say to an employer, you know, I know you're facing this, or you're going to be facing this in the next 6 months. Let me explain to you how I can help you with that. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have them sitting up and listening and saying, wow, we need somebody like you. And that's why a company where your friend or two friends just got hired probably were thinking they weren't necessarily even sure they needed somebody, or if they did, they were talking to people who were speaking their language.
Yeah, definitely. Selling their value. And I know they both did an incredible amount of networking as well. And, you know, like you said, don't sit at your computer and just fling resumes out to every company out there. They really did target. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Andrea Kay and her latest book. Let me get her book. Her latest book is called Work's a Bitch, and Then You Make It Work, 6 Steps to Go from Pissed Off to Powerful. And we'll get more of an update from Andrea Kay when we return.
If there is any work for me, I'm going to go back to the house, hear that woman's mouth,
reaching out and crying. Tell me that I'm lying about a job that I never could find. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, oh, sha-la-la-la.
Women worldwide see beauty in their mothers, sisters, daughters, and friends. However, only 4% of those women see the same beauty in themselves. Hi, I'm Lisa Ling, and I've traveled the world for years and have witnessed firsthand the devastating effects of low self-esteem among women. We should all pledge to inspire the next generation to see their beauty as a source of confidence, not anxiety.
This message was brought to you by the Alliance for Women in Media and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Movement for Self-Esteem. To learn more, visit DoveMovement.com.
Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Embracing change is the top survival skill, and resilience today is more important than ever before. Coming Monday, October 29th, on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Patty Dobrowolski, comic actor, high-performance business consultant, and TEDx speaker who specializes in helping to actualize the transformations we desire through a dream-to-reality mapping process. Join us for a fun and inspiring experience at noon Pacific on Monday, October 29th. And if you have a dream-to-reality transformation question, a big challenge, or a great success story you'd like to share, email Vicki at info@conversationslive.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we're getting an update from Andrea Kay on the current job market and what she's seeing. And one of the things that Andrea said was we need to get out of our own way. So, Andrea, let's continue on the vein we were talking about before. People who insist on finding security are getting nowhere. What do we need to let go of? What do we need to embrace?
Well, one of the things that you need to let go of is this insistence on security. A woman the other day was approached by an employer. The employer told me this, and he said to her, she has a job now, and he said, would you be interested in talking to me about a position at my company? And her response was, only if it's secure. Now, what an opportunity she blew, because she is insisting on knowing that it will be secure. There is no such thing, and the minute you can let go of that, you will free yourself of a possible you know, detracting from whole, from going towards something that might even be better for you. So that's the first thing. The second thing that you need to let go of is your insistence on knowing exactly how something is going to turn out. People want to know, is this going to work out? Is this going to be a better move for me? Nobody knows. You can do your due diligence, but nobody knows until you enter, you know, a situation to know how it's going to turn out. Stop worrying about the wrong things, like unemployment figures. You can't do anything about that anyway. Quit worrying about not looking bad. And this is especially important if you have a job now, because what people are doing who have a job is they're worrying about making the wrong move and doing the wrong thing and therefore being the one who gets the axe.
Mm.
And what that does is it means they keep their head down, they make bad decisions, they're afraid to speak up, and then bad things do happen. So you need to let go of that worry that I'm going to look bad and I better keep my head down, because that's going to get you in worse shape, okay? And instead, embrace ambiguity, because that's really what we're talking about here, not knowing exactly how it's going to turn out. And embracing hope is another important thing. You know, it's not something that's going to put food on the table, but it will help turn you from a victim to a victor if you can trust and believe and have hope that you will find the right thing, you will make the right decision.
Yes, and hope is important in many ways, because first of all, we don't want to feel like that victim, as you said many times. We also don't want to give off an air of desperation. And so, I think it's very important, a key factor there. We have to be willing to make a mistake, don't we? We have to be willing to be human.
Yes. I mean, you're not going to be perfect in all decisions. However, you need, you know, they're paying you to make informed decisions, to make the best decision you can, to do good work. That's what they pay you for. And if you've got your head down and you're so focused on covering your butt, you're not doing the work they're paying you for.
Mm. It looks as though you're not participating, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're there. You're focused on your problem, not theirs, which, again, goes back to the reason they hired you in the first place.
Yeah. Now, you said that you've been saying the same thing, really, for 22 years, but because more people are affected now, more people are sitting up and paying attention.
Right.
And you said that you're finding people need lots and lots and lots of inspiration. How do you go about inspiring people? How do you go about having them find that inspiration?
Well, I think, first of all, if you can get control of your own mind and this fear, that's a great place to start, because you will feel much more powerful if you realize that you do have some control in this. And that is incredibly liberating, not to allow your mind to run crazy with fear. I tell them to have daily structures to help them notice and lasso that in and support themselves with people who are supportive, creative people who will sit down with them and help them brainstorm and think about how they might fit into the job market if they don't know. Hold conversations with people, not just about, will you hire me? Those aren't the kinds of conversations I'm suggesting.
Right.
But have conversations with people that will help you explore their industry and help you understand where you might fit into their company.
Mm.
Those are some of the ways to help you feel inspired and therefore be able to think, how can I possibly create an opportunity for myself at this company? You know, put time into your well-crafted spiel, you know, that describes all the things that I've said for 22 years, which is know what your greatest strengths are. Have a summary of what your expertise is and how you can make a difference. And in particular, buckle down and answer these questions that will differentiate you from other job hunters. And I'm telling you, nobody does this. I preach this, and the people that do it, it's making a difference. So get your pencil out and write this down. Question number one, sit down with yourself and say, what special talents and skills do I have that my company or another one will rely on and need now more than ever to stay in business and be competitive? Two, what do you do? What do I do that can go beyond what's expected in my job or the one I want, especially now at this difficult time? Three, what specifically can I do to not only help my company or get another one through this economic period, but also evolve, help them evolve and get to where they need to go? And four, what are you going to tell a new employer they need to do to prepare for not just the difficult times they're going through now, but the future of their industry? And how are you specifically going to help them accomplish that through the work you're qualified to do? That will make you stand out from everybody else, because most people will never sit down and do that work, and yet that's how you will be competitive with all these other thousands of job hunters.
That's great advice. And you also present yourself more as a partner than you know, somebody who just wants a job.
That's perfect. That's exactly how you want to be presenting yourself. And yeah, that's taking off that help me with my problem and putting on your problem-solving hat and saying, let's figure this out together.
Yeah. I actually was interviewing several people a little while ago for a couple of positions, and I was horrified how many people had not even looked at the couple of websites that I'd sent them to look at.
Isn't that amazing?
And came to the interview saying, so what is it you do? And I'm like, why am I wasting my time?
It's just the basics.
Yep. And now somebody else showed up with notes and questions that, you know, they'd reviewed the information. And, of course, you know who I hired, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the basics. But see, people are too focused on doing two things, updating their resume and contacting recruiters. That's how most people tell me they're spending their time these days.
Yeah. Another thing, you know, I loved, and you suggested this on your website, I don't know if it was article or podcast, because I did look at several of them, but and I've done this myself, is pick up the phone and call somebody and ask if you can shadow them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a great way to do it, because what that does is, this is especially important if you're thinking of changing a career or you're trying to understand where their industry is at this point in time and issues they are dealing with. The more information you can arm yourself with about the problems they're dealing with, and every company has them right now in ways that you may not totally understand, the more informed you are, then you can say, how can I support them? What special skills and knowledge do I have? How does my innovative thinking, my creative thinking, how can that help them solve that? And then you might even come back with, that may help you develop a proposal for not necessarily that company, but one like that.
Mm. Now, what are you telling freelancers, Andrea? Are you telling them anything different?
No, very similar kinds of things. As a matter of fact, a lot of freelancers, a lot of people are developing freelance kinds of jobs, or businesses rather, that I've known them as employees, and now they're looking for ways to create businesses that, you know, allow them to support companies. But the exact same things, and these people are getting gigs too. They're looking for opportunities. I have this one woman in particular who wasn't sure if she wanted to start her own freelance kind of marketing company, but she. So what she did was go out and talk to employers who might want to buy her service to see if it was a viable business. And what has happened is she's discovering it is very viable, and they like the idea of hiring her in a freelance contractor kind of role as opposed to an employee. And she's, as a result, has developed this business, this freelance business. But she's doing this exact same kind of exercise by talking to people, finding out what are their needs. Does my idea make sense?
Interesting. Yeah, and of course for employers, I think freelancing is the way to go, because they can just use somebody for the project and don't have to worry about it.
Yes, for many employers, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, but the issues on your end as the new freelancer is you got to have your systems in place.
Definitely.
You have to know what this business is, and you have to go through the whole branding thing. You got a lot of steps that you have to take to make this thing fly. But if you focus, again, I had a woman in my office the other day who wanted to start a consulting business, but she was all focused on all the things that she didn't have. And I asked her the question, I said, well, what is it that, why'd you want to start this business in the first place? What was the passion behind it? And when I asked her that question, she got all excited and she told me, and she said, you know, that's where I need to be putting my energy. It's not on what I lack, but what it is that I bring to this and why I wanted to do it in the first place. And she got rejuvenated and she got energized. And all of those things she has to do to make this fly are fun and interesting to her now instead of being dragged down by all the fears.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great information, great update from you, Andrea. We're at the end of our segment now. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
The main thing is quit worrying about what you're worried about now, which is, oh my gosh, I don't have this, I don't have that, and quit focusing on being secure and focus on why you are valuable. That will intrigue anybody at this point, and it will help you be more effective in how you talk about yourself and then delivering what you say you can deliver.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to define how you're valuable, I'm going to recommend Andrea Kay's website, andreakay.com. And also, you've got 5 books that focus on nothing but this very topic, right, Andrea?
Absolutely. Everything you need to know and more is in those books.
Yeah, and if it's not in there, it's on the website in an article or a podcast.
So. Right.
Well, thanks again for joining us today, Andrea. Really appreciate your time and wish you all the best.
Thanks, Vicki. It was fun to be with you.
And again, you can find Andrea Kay. Andrea's website is andreakay.com. Tons of really great information up there. And until next week, live well, live strong. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.